This is the Horse Radio Network.
Horse Nation.
This episode is Do Try This at Home.
Leslie, I'm...
Failure is always an option. Any result's a result, that's for sure. Or not.
Well, hi, everybody. I'm Glenn the Geek, founder of the Horse Radio Network, and we welcome you to another special Mongol Derby update. This is brought to you by Horses in the Morning, and we are on Facebook Live at 8 p.m. on this Saturday evening, August the 12th, following day four of the Mongol Derby, going into day five. The sound from this will be added to the Horses in the Morning podcast feed. If you miss anything, just check that out. Visit horsesinthemorning.com. I am joined, as always, by my wonderful co-host, two-time competitor of the Mongol Derby, came in second place, and she wants to go finish that problem next year and come in first. So that's her goal for next year. Hey, Devin Horn.
How's it going?
Good. I'm in a dark, what looks like interrogation room because I'm at a hotel, and I have like every light on I can find, and it still looks like I'm being interrogated by you tonight. So
definitely. You've definitely got the crime drama vibe going on in that hotel room.
Exactly. I had to turn the camera because Jennifer's over on the bed. So that's my
Well, your background has been blurred because you're actually on your way to Mongolia right
that's
now.
That's right. Yeah, I'm going to rescue Leslie.
Some sense into Wiley.
I'm going to go send her a raincoat, a forgetful odometer so she never forgets anything again. Well, let's start with Leslie, and then we'll talk a little bit more tonight about the leaders and what's going on in the race.
Yeah, Leslie has made it to Ertu 11, which is the penalty station, and our girl has managed so far. She's about halfway through the race to have zero penalties, which is really great because they're giving them out like candy this year.
Well, it's really great because she's had enough other trouble. We don't need to give her more.
Yeah, that's true. Silver lining is that she's managed to stay away from the veterinarians and the race officials, and they haven't given her any penalties yet. So she's not going to have to spend any time at 11, and she's going to be able to ride out this morning with a clear conscience.
Right.
A lot of the people in that huge cloud that she's riding with are going to be at that penalty station for 2, 4, 6 hours this morning, sitting out their penalties. So that should spread out that clump a little bit.
That tent they all slept in last night must have been mighty crowded because there was a lot of them at
that
11, weren't there?
I bet it was warm, though. I bet it was so warm. Was.
And speaking of which, it appears Leslie also forgot her raincoat at one of the previous stopovers, huh?
I don't know how. She has nothing. She's like a homeless person right now. How do you lose your raincoat?
Can we talk about something, though, that they posted yesterday on the Mongol Derby feed on Twitter, which you just go to Mongol Derby Live on Twitter and you'll find it. Oh, my God. They posted a video, and we talked about it yesterday, that she had to ride between two stopovers without stirrups, and they posted a video of her at a full gallop without stirrups. That she just earned the respect of every horse person in the world with that video.
Honestly, I it is unprecedented in the Derby, and when you think about how on day four, how many miles she's already ridden, to be able to just, you know, get on the horse with no stirrups at that point in time during the Derby is completely unprecedented. It's completely badass.
It is badass.
And then they post the video and it looks like she's reading a book. Like, it's not like she's struggling or focusing or doing anything. It's just like, yeah, just another Saturday afternoon ride. Everything's great.
It's no stirrup November and I'm just going along for 25 miles at a full gallop.
Problems at all.
Crazy. Jennifer watched that this morning and she said, you know, I knew she could ride. We know her well enough and we've seen enough videos of her riding and eventing. But she said, this is just, it's just a whole nother level of ride.
Yeah, definitely. Pretty intimidating footage there.
It definitely was. No question about that. Well, welcome everybody that's joining us right now. We have Allison and Denise and Kathy, and if please do comment in the comments below. Say hi to each other. You guys can chat while we're chatting as well. Put in any questions down there. We do have some questions from the auditors we got earlier. We'll answer those too, but let's go out to the lead pack and see what we have going on there.
Yeah, it's getting really interesting. It is day four, or they just started day five because it is already Sunday in Mongolia. But day four saw a little bit of a change in the pack as far as a threat coming up from behind. Jackie Malot, Mary Palzer, and Ed Fernon, that lead pack that had kind of been 5 to 8 kilometers away from each other, is now riding all together. So they all slept at Ertu 16 last night. I'm sure, I don't have any idea what the dynamic is. I don't know if they're fighting or squabbling or being competitive or being friendly. I have absolutely no idea what they're up to. However, I do know that 20 kilometers behind now is Barry Armitage, who is the force. He's going to be the anvil for the drive home for the next few days, all the way to the finish, I'm sure. And the other drama is that Marie, our sole female in the top seven, got a penalty late last night. A 2-hour hold that she will serve at the next penalty station, which will be number 22. So we will see a shakeup when they reach that section, as well as, you know, anything that happens now between now and then, as far as those three riding together, waiting for each other. I'm not sure what they'll do, but I am certain that somebody has told them that Barry is coming for them.
And let's talk a little bit about the top four. I have some information and some tidbits of information about them. Of course, Jackie, let's remind everybody that he is from South Africa. He's 41 years old. He's the one we joke about being the potato farmer. He has several kids and just looks like one big happy family down there. They show pictures of him flying a helicopter. So I think he flies a helicopter.
Nice.
And he is.
I was doing some research last night. South Africa does hold the highest amount of Derby victors.
Is that right?
To date. Yes, it does. Wow. So.
I like how we're calling it victors. This really is becoming more Hunger Games.
Yeah.
And if you remember right, Jackie is the one that said that he is riding to show his kids he's not a sissy boy. I would say, Jackie, you're doing a pretty good job there. They're not thinking that right now.
I promise we're not in Texas for sure.
No. And, you know, there's a whole bunch in South Africa that are rooting hit for him right now, including that lovely family of his. Marie, I didn't know, obviously is from New Zealand. She's 22 years old. She's kind of a badass herself. She's a kindergarten teacher. She's the one that rode 4 months across New Zealand and spent 4 months in the saddle to kind of prepare for this. And I didn't know that she rode an Appaloosa named Spirit on that ride, which is kind of cool and different. She wants to start, after this ride, she wants to start a self-worth and empowerment camp for girls. So that's what she has planned.
Ed,
is it
awesome?
Isn't that cool? And she's really neat. If you read, there were a couple articles written about her on Horse Talk in New Zealand, and she has led an interesting life at the age of 22. Ed Fernon is 29 years old. He was the Olympic pentathlete out of Australia. He was the only Olympic pentathlete out of Australia that's of the male variety. There were a couple of females. When he got into being a pentathlete, he didn't know how to do three of the five sports. He had no idea. So he had to take crash courses on those three of the five. He's a property business manager right now. He started a company called Freedom Development Group. He's an entrepreneur down there at the age of 29. So there's another guy that's accomplished a lot, including the London Olympics in 2012. And then we have Barry. Now, you know a little bit about Barry. Barry Armitage is out of South Africa. So we got, what, two of the top four out of South Africa. He's 51 years old. And this guy makes all of us look like pikers, including you. I mean, he's ridden everywhere around the world in these endurance crazy things. Just nuts.
Yeah, he's a very strong competitor, and he's, quite honestly, I think if I rounded it up, probably the favorite as far as veterans thinking who's going to take this. Him and Dingo were really kind of who we thought were going to be duking it out like hell to leather, blood rushing down their faces, you know, sprinting for the win. We thought that those two were going to be duking it out for 500 miles. So the fact that he is within 20 kilometers of the front pack, the front pack should be shaking in their boots. He's coming for them, which is highly entertaining for me to watch. Not so much if you're in the front pack.
No, you're glad you're not in one of those front packs right now. What does Barry do for a living? Well, he has a TV show, right? Didn't he have a TV show over there that
was? He did. Yeah. Yes, he had a running TV show called The Ride that was pretty successful. He also manages his own kind of derby-like adventure race called Race the Wild Coast down in South Africa. And I know that he probably has other things, but I'm not sure what he does for a living.
Yeah, I don't know what he does for a living either. Do any of these people do anything? Do you do anything for a living?
I do. I'm a technical coordinator and a database administrator when it suits me. So I have a pretty law degree that I'm doing bunkus with, but
you have a law degree?
I have a pre-law degree.
I didn't know that.
Wow.
I don't see you as a lawyer in a courtroom. That would bore the hell out of you in about 5 minutes.
I feel like the routine might get to me.
Yeah.
It's a little bit detestable, but But it's just so interesting to hear what the other people who are doing the Derby this year are doing for a living, because you can kind of paint a picture of what kind of person does this, you know? Like, what kind of tier of a person do you have to be? You have to be a potato farmer from South Africa, or a guy who enters the Olympics not knowing what they're doing. And, like, all of these people who are just so badass, you know, and happen to be winning the world's toughest horse race right now.
And we got Leslie, who's a reporter and a podcaster. So there you go. I mean, just yeah.
Yeah. She's a freelance journalist.
That's right. That's right.
When it suits her.
Well, so now when we get to the rest of the field, we're starting to go back a little bit now, and we're getting to about 50 kilometers out when we go past Barry to the others. And they've all, by the way, as we're recording this at 8:12 at night, they've all started out on their next leg here, day five. We end up with Warren Sutton is following along about 30, 40 kilometers behind. We've got Dingo is still in there. Will, who was last year's winner. We've got about 40, 50 kilometers behind is Rebecca Hewitt. So we start getting into more females as we get back there. Greg Chant is back there as well. So those are all in the running, because anything crazy can happen with your horses in the lead.
Exactly. Yeah. This is not won by any stretch of the imagination. And when you look at it realistically, we're about at the halfway point. So everything that's already happened has the same amount of time to happen again. So we could see somebody, I mean, it takes 2 seconds to lose a horse, and it could cost you a whole day, as we've already seen with Leslie.
Right.
So and that can happen to literally every single other person in the field. And now what's really interesting also is that the leaders are going to come up to, they just left 16 now, but the big pack, including Leslie, should be able to make it past 13 today and into that section that Katie Willings, the race director, is a little bit worried about, called the Baga Kangai Overpass, which is actually like a tunnel into the ground that they have to get the ponies through. It's a kind of like a place that allows railroads to go over, and I haven't seen a photo of it, so I don't know how scary it looks, but Katie was a little bit worried that the Mongol ponies would refuse to go underneath the tunnel. So it's going to be really funny to watch it on the live tracker, and I hope that that doesn't mess anybody up.
You know, I was actually looking at the section they're coming into. They've been pretty much on plains, wide open plains right now, but now they're coming into the hills,
yeah.
Right?
Exactly. And this is the part where you know, choosing the wrong canyon or choosing to go over instead of around could really mess your day up here. This is where it's going to get interesting navigationally.
I'm looking at where their top three are now, and I'm looking at the satellite view, and they're in a canyon with hills on each side. You can't tell how tall the hills are on satellite views, unfortunately. But it looks like if they make the wrong turn there, they're going to have a big hike over a hill, or they're not going to get to the next... stopping point, they're going to have to make some lefts and rights to get there. It's going to be tough.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly right. The canyons will spit them out way too far north or way too far south from where they're trying to go.
That's what it looks like. And they'll have to choose which way. Do they want to be further up or further down? And then I guess you get lucky or not, right?
Yeah, and one thing the race has never done is, or hasn't done the years that I've gone, is given out topographical maps. They always give out like satellite images and then, you know, your GPS coordinates, but they never give out topos. So you really kind of have to, which are my favorites. I mean, that's what I would, ideal situation, everybody would have topos, and topos for everybody. But they never do. So you're really kind of up a creek as far as trying to guess where, okay, you know, the map says I should go into a canyon, but there's three canyons here. I'm going to have to really figure this out right now.
We just had a question from Audrey who asked, and we have an answer for this. Does age play a role in the placing? Nope. Your top four are 51, 29, 22, and 41. So there you go. Yeah.
Yeah, it has played a role in our retired riders, however. They have seemed to be in the ones that are 40, 50, 60.
And Becky asks, is Devin doing another derby? If we can get her there, she's doing it next year. So
yes, next year is the plan. I will hopefully do 2018 as my next and my very last derby run. It'll be my last one.
Do you know, we're going to be following you every step of the way, just like we did Leslie. So you're
your tribute for that.
Yeah,
year.
You were it. This is how I got Leslie into this, by the way. So, well, there's confidence from Elizabeth saying she could see Devin doing litigation. She definitely could do litigation,
yeah.
But I think she'd get bored to death. All the paperwork would kill her.
Jury's still out as to what will be the final job vocation for Devin, sure.
Devin has to go to Japan for 2 months here. When? Next week. You're going for 2 months to train horses.
Monday. 2 days. I leave in 2 days, Glenn, but I think I'll still be able to live stream with you. So
it'll be like 4 a.m. there. I don't know what time it'll be there. I have no idea.
Do I look like I need to sleep?
No, you don't, actually. But yeah, that'll be cool to have you from Japan. That'll be fun.
Yeah.
Let's see here. So now let's get to some questions that we had earlier. So we did have a question. I think we answered this last night, but the stopover points, what do they look like? I picture them as a beautiful oasis of 5-star showers, buffets, and warm beds.
No, you are dreaming, my friend. There are no beds. There are no showers. There is a slit trench in which you may use the bathroom if you have your own toilet paper.
And for those that don't know, that means they dug a hole in the dirt.
Yeah. You know, out a little bit away from the tent. The tent is made of primarily felt and wood, and you are welcome to put your sleeping bag down inside the tent, which is a luxury. And then the Mongolian family will cook a traditional Mongolian meal, which includes rice or noodles, some mutton, some nice fatty foods, and all the milk you can drink. And that is what Inertu looks like. Then, of course, the horses as well.
Do they all sleep in the same one?
Yes. And for the derby, sometimes they'll borrow another tent for the extra derby people who are coming through. So sometimes if you're really lucky, there'll be two tents and then you can sleep, you know, a little bit less crowded.
I love Rachel's question. She asked, what is the thing at this point in the race, halfway point, what is the thing you most wish you had? And she's saying, I'm guessing dry socks and underwear is pretty high on the list.
Yeah. At this point, I was riding commando due to some unfortunate happenings. So I would have taken a silver parachute of underwear at this point, for sure.
It would have been on your wish list for your
that
sponsor.
That would have been, I would have killed someone for a pair of panties. Yeah. <That's funny. laughs> I'm sure high on that list are a nice shot of whiskey, some chocolate, things from home, maybe even just some electrolytes.
Yeah, let's remind everybody, we're going into day five. These people have not changed their clothes or showered. Let's remind everybody of that.
No.
Yeah. And
they have not changed their undergarments, probably. They smell worse than a thru-hiker right now.
Yeah, and you know what? They're all sleeping in the same tent together. Keep that in mind.
Yeah.
Okay, so this is a good question. Given the point in the race where Leslie or the ones in the middle of the pack that are 11 with the leaders at 16, do they still have a chance of being competitive?
I would say this, expect the unexpected. Because every time I've been watching the Derby and said, oh, okay, you know, this is how it's going to pan out, that, you know, this guy has a pretty good lead. A horse goes missing or a guy breaks his spine or, you know, there's a thunderstorm or something happens and some underdog who is 4 stations back comes zipping up to the front and makes this huge comeback. So it happens. I mean, I'm not saying this to give Leslie's family any false hope or anything, but this, it happens all the time. People make tremendous comebacks. So don't count her out. And honestly, anybody who bets against Leslie is kind of insane at this point.
Yeah,
anyway.
Right. Exactly. You know, we said this from the beginning, and she has said it all along 100 times on our show, is she wants to finish. That's her goal. She wants to get across safe. I do have a message here that I just got from Tommy, who is Leslie's husband, who we had on the show last night. If you missed it, go to horseinthemorning.com and you'll find last night's show. He said a monstrous thank you again to everybody, including the auditors, and that she's in a big group, which could mean a fast start or a slow one if there are pony choosing or tack issues again. So don't freak out if it takes her a bit to get going. And she's with friends, so she'll be looked after, hoping for 3+ legs a day by the end of today, but hoping more for safety and smiles. Let's do it. So that was Tommy's message.
Exactly. Perfect. And yes, I did forget to mention, earlier that she is with a whole bunch of people, but a lot of them have penalties, so they won't be riding out this morning or anytime soon. So the pack should break up a little bit. And she is with Olivia. Olivia and Leslie are the dream team is together
Canadian,
again.
Our Canadian girl, she's with her?
Yes. Yeah. Liv and Leslie are hopefully, you know, riding together and being able to work together a little bit and at least have some fun and talk over their war wounds from the last 4 days. So I'm really excited that they found each other.
Well, I will tell you, Leslie has headed out from 11. And
nice.
She seems to be of the pack that's headed out for 11. She's doing pretty well. Right in front of her, we have Sari. Then we have Sally Toy, who's had an interesting ride herself. Charlotte, yeah. Wills. So we got a lot of females there. Emma Manthorpe. So, and then Leslie is following up behind them. So that's
perfect.
That's where you sit. And you're right. There's a whole ton of people still sitting at the 11 right now.
Yeah, they're serving their penalties or just too tired to get out of bed this morning.
One or the other. We have time for a couple more questions. What type of sweets do the Mongolians serve? Do you have nice chocolate cake with chocolate icing and ice cream?
Yeah, the ice cream is top-notch. No. No, they do serve this kind of sweet bread sometimes at breakfast. That's kind of almost like a cookie. That's really good. Whenever I find those, I take way too many of them. And they also have kind of hard candies, you know, the ones that don't spoil that you always find at your grandparents' house. They have a bunch of those, too, that are really nice kind of as a change of pace. But other than that, they're not really sweet, like sweets people, I don't think.
And William's asking if I'm in Mongolia because of apparently this. No, I am in Philadelphia,
yes.
Which is about like Mongolia. So,
yeah, same thing.
Same thing. It's Philadelphia. We don't have light in hotel rooms in Philadelphia, apparently. So there we go.
That's too funny.
Let's see here. A couple more questions we have time for. We're going to wrap it up a little earlier tonight because we have several more nights of this. How many hours is it going to take you to fly to Japan? By the way,
probably it's 12 from here to Tokyo and then another 2-hour hopper to Sapporo. So not too long.
And you said that we do have backups. So I'm not going to be alone if for these reports. You have lined up with some backups if we need.
Some surprise veteran guests for you coming up just in case I can't make it.
Okay.
Good. So I should be able to make the one tomorrow since we're pushing it back just a tiny bit so I can go to roller derby.
Let's mention that tomorrow night will be at 9:00. So instead of 8:00 Eastern, it'll be at 9:00 Eastern.
Girls got a hit. Sorry.
Yeah, that's right. She's going to be doing roller derby tomorrow night, and I'm at this trade show, so it worked out better for us both to do 9:00 if either of us is awake at that point.
Yeah.
Devin, how do riders balance their ambition to win with the well-being of the horse? Well, that's easy. They're judged at every stop about with the safety and the health of the horse in mind. The respiration, all that stuff, heartbeat, all that stuff is checked. So if they could, that's why they're getting penalties. If they're coming in and the horse isn't recovering fast enough, they get a penalty for that. So that's how they do that.
Right. And if you rack up more than 2 vet penalties, you're at risk for disqualification. So the Derby people do not play around with it. If you are consistently overriding horses, you will be pulled from the race. And they have a couple of kind of, I guess you'd call them like head stewards in the FEI world who are kind of watching the gameplay, kind of all up and down the line. And if they think somebody is riding in a manner that in any way is harmful to the ponies, because, you know, the Derby has a relationship with these herders, and then they can't have somebody out there herding horses in which so that the herders don't want us to use their horses next year.
Right.
Yeah, they have a relationship, and they will happily put your butt in a furgon, you know, and let you ride out the Derby in a van rather than risk the horses. It's not something that's tolerated at all.
Okay, that's a good question. So if you're taken out at this point in the race where you're a good way in, do they drive you back to the beginning, or you have to just ride along?
You will probably just have to ride along in the furgon until they're ready to dump you back at a Lambitar. And now this has never happened. Nobody has ever been, you know, pulled from the race for poor riding.
Well, and let's talk about that a little bit. You guys have to, and I think this is why, you guys have to do applications. They actually interview you. I mean, this is a process to even get there.
Exactly right. And, you know, they do have ways of kind of suggesting that maybe, you know, you try again in a few years once you've, you know, had a little bit more experience with horses or something like that. They don't let people who are going to come out and be a problem be a problem.
And they kind of look at whether you have young kids. They look at all that stuff. You know, they do.
Oh, yeah. They look at your whole life. My interview to get in for the first time since I was a college student was like an hour and a half long.
Yeah.
So,
and if you have an interesting story like Leslie or you're a veterinarian, they look for stories too, obviously. This is still a business for them too. So they do look for interesting stories.
Yeah. And they have like, I think it's like 100 to 300 people apply annually just to do this race. So
this is 100 to 300 people who to apply to pay them $13,000 to torture themselves for 1,000 kilometers.
Isn't it great?
And to win a handshake at the end. This is a good question. What type of bits are used, Becky asks.
Here, I'll show you.
Is that a Mongolian bridle? What is that?
Yeah.
Yeah? Show us. Yeah, that'd be great.
This is one of my Mongolian bridles. I have two of them, one for each time I did the Derby. And they're made of an animal hide that may be horse. I think it is, actually. It's got reins, and then the bit is just a really old-fashioned, like,
oh, snapple. Good God. Look at that thing.
Yeah, it's like an antique.
Yeah, that's been around since Genghis Khan.
Yeah, probably. They're just these two kind of, like, very rough pieces of iron that, you know, hey, it worked. And, yeah, that's what it looks like.
Well, there you go. There's your answer, everybody. And for those listening on the audio feed, you can go back and watch a video at Horses in the Morning on the Facebook page, and you'll find it. I think that's about all the questions we had. We wanted to wrap it up in about a half an hour tonight because, one, we're all getting tired. And I'm at the American Equestrian Trade Association, was at the trade show all day, visiting with sponsors and potential sponsors, looking at new products coming to the market. And Jennifer was drooling over a whole bunch of stuff, so I don't know how broke I'm going to be after this. well, we answer one more question by William. What are they screening for in the interview for riders?
Well, first of all, they're wondering if you have the experience horse-wise to manage these Mongol ponies as far as, you know, they're not going to take somebody who doesn't know how to ride. So they're looking into your riding background, anything you've won, anything you've done, anything like, you know, have you been an FEI rider? Have you been, you know, an endurance rider? Have you done anything with horses? What is your horse background? So they're looking for horse sense, definitely. They're also looking for a little bit of expedition sense because they don't want to take somebody out who hasn't had a little bit of wilderness background as well. A lot of the Derby is being able to get yourself out of your own messes without the crew kind of taking care of you. So they're definitely looking for a little bit of that wilderness spirit as well. As well as just general sense, you know, do you have the skills? Do you have the fitness? What is your training plan looking like? Do you have somebody who may mentor you? They're kind of trying to set you up for success, just so that they don't have somebody that's going to get into a bad situation out there.
Yeah, And really get hurt. I mean, you guys have to sign about 25 disclaimers and liability releases, right?
Exactly, right. Enough people are going to be spent home with broken bones and broken feelings. They don't need to add to that by putting people who don't have any business out there on those horses.
It's the first line of the liability release say, if you die, it's not our fault.
Yeah, I think it's if I get hurt, lost, or die, it's my own damn fault.
That's the first line. And you know what? Judging by the way they do their Twitter feed, that's probably is what it says at the first line.
Yeah, pretty similar. Yep.
Let's give her another, the game maker, another shout out. The lady who does the Twitter feed. What's her name again?
Katie Willings, who not only does the Twitter feed, she's also the mother of and the mother empress and chief of the Mongol Derby. The Mongol Derby would not exist had Katie not, you know, 9 years ago said, hey, I want to, you know, I'll help the adventurers do this trip. She kind of birthed the Derby and has been looking after it ever since. It could not happen without her.
Are there any, because they do so many wild races. I mean, just tuk-tuks across India, just the weirdest crap. Is there anybody that's tried to do every one of the adventurists' wild things?
I don't know if anyone's ever done them all.
Yeah, because some of these are just bizarre. They're bizarre stuff.
Yeah, you'd have to be able to ride a horse successfully. You'd have to be able to ride a rickshaw. You'd have to be able to pilot a canoe with a bed sheet. You'd have to be able to do a little motorbike. You'd have to be able to do...
car races?
They have a flying one, the Icarus one now.
Oh, that's right. Yes.
Yeah, with like the self-propelled jet engine and like the paracord thing. And so you'd have to be a master of all trades to do every single one.
And every one of those liability releases say, if you die, it's not our fault.
I bet you'd be dead by the time you got through all of them. I don't think there's any way you could do all of them.
Yeah, the odds are against you, as they say in the Hunger Games.
Those are pretty good odds right there. Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you again for joining us. We'll be back. Remember, Sunday night, we will be here at 9 o'clock Eastern, not 8 o'clock. And you can listen to the recorded version of this if you missed any of it at horsesinthemorning.com or on our feed. There's a Horse Radio Network app with all 15 of our shows at horseradionetwork.com as well. Do you even have a website?
No, just my Facebook. It's the best way to get a hold of me.
And that's Devin Horn, just like it sounds, D-E-V-A-N-H-O-R-N. You'll find her on Facebook.
Yeah.
And she posts all kinds of things there. Are you staying up late tonight and following, or are you hitting the hay?
No, I'm following. I'm watching the dots again. I have gotten like so little sleep, you wouldn't even believe it. Just trying to keep up. And the night that Leslie lost her horse, I did not go to bed until she was like moving again. So that was like 5 a.m. that I finally...
I was just getting up and you were going to bed is what it was. I think.
Yeah.
We were talking to each other. She's just going to bed. All right, thanks everybody for joining us. We really appreciate it, and we'll be back tomorrow night. And best of luck, and stay safe to all of our riders.